Consider the recent news of scandals in the film industry and others in position of authority and privilege. There is, it seems, a disturbing revelation of the abuse of power over and over again. People are having more courage to speak out, and we hope that more people are having the courage to listen. Our scripture from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church reminds us that there is nothing new under the sun. One person exploiting another for gain and pleasure, that is pretty much the story of the human race since the beginning, sadly. And so our scripture warns us against this destructive and harmful behavior, in particular, the sin which is against the body, the physical body. Food and physical intimacy are the two examples. In particular, Paul is disturbed to hear that even Christians in the church in Corinth are pleasuring themselves through prostitution. And he wants it to stop. What I admire so much about Paul, and what I am so thankful to the Holy Spirit who inspired him, is that he does not try to use shame, guilt, or fear to motivate people into a more godly behavior. He does not threaten the church. Instead, he gives us an epiphany. He shows us that we have a higher calling as Christians, that we are the people of God. We've been given something so much more beautiful and priceless, even in our physical bodies. But in order to draw us there, he does teach us something about sin. Sin, as you'll remember, is not just an act. It's not just the bad stuff that you and I do. It's not just harming others, though that it does. Sin is a condition. It begins in our hearts, just as we confessed in our thoughts, in our words, and our deeds. Even worse than that, sin is what holds us captive. We're not only perpetrators of sin, we're also victims of sin, and so we cannot free ourselves by our own strength. And so Paul asks this riveting question. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? This is a powerful question. And the New Testament language here anticipates a resounding yes. We do know that. You know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, don't you? You know that your physical body is God's gift, don't you? You know that your body was redeemed by the blood of Jesus on the cross, don't you? And if that is true, and it is, then would not the truth of that have a huge impact on our lives? That this body, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. God dwells within you and me, and he works through us and in us. This is not just a bag of bones. We don't treat each other as a piece of meat. We are gifts of God, which he has created. As our psalm today says so beautifully, you created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am marvelously made. And so the eternal Son of God becomes flesh and blood. He takes on a body, a physical body. And he gave that body, that flesh and that blood, to make us his own, to purchase us and redeem us from the power and dominion of sin. You'll notice that as Paul talks about sin, he describes it as a kind of anti-gospel. That we don't treat our bodies as something sacred when we sin. We treat one another as something that we consume, or we use others to self-gratify. And so physical intimacy can become a transaction. We cheapen God's gifts, and we cheapen ourselves. Paul says, I will not be dominated by anything. And that anything, in this context, is the lust and desire of the flesh. And it is a frightening thing, a scary thing to realize that we can become dominated and ruled by our sinful desires. In other words, it becomes an addiction. Our bodies are more like a prison holding us captive to our desires. We cannot free ourselves by our own strength, whether that addiction is to food, as Paul says here, or physical intimacy, or anything else. Paul says, I will not be dominated by anything. And we cannot break ourselves out of the cycle of abuse. We need a Savior. And that's why Christ lived and died and rose again, so that we would be free. Free to realize that we are temples and members of Him. I believe one breakthrough in our understanding of this is in the wisdom of the golden rule to love your neighbor as yourself, with an emphasis on loving yourself. Loving yourself does not mean becoming a narcissist. It does not mean living to please oneself. It does not mean making you or your ego the center of the universe. Loving yourself means seeing yourself as God sees you. It means having compassion for you. It means empathizing with your own plight. It means being committed to what God is committed to, and that is our very best. A call to not sin is a call to embrace what God has for us, and it is very good. You know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, don't you? You know that your physical body is God's gift, don't you? You know that your body was redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, don't you? If you do, and if I do, we will see food as something that we eat to live, not something we live to eat. You will see physical intimacy and affection as not something that I do to gain pleasure, but to express union, love, cherishing the other, full acceptance and vulnerability without shame. And with that understanding, as our bodies, as temples, we won't exploit others. We won't abuse them. We will not use others. Their body and life is also a gift, isn't it? They too bear the image of God, don't they? Christ also died and rose again from the dead for them, did he not? We are now free to be the place where the Holy Spirit dwells and reigns. We become good stewards of these bodies. And we get to embody the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. This is a truly holy place, a special, unique, and sacred calling to be members of Christ's body to the world, to be instruments of God's love, to draw others into His presence, His forgiveness, and promise of eternal life. Is it not? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.